grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text for our sermon today is Psalm 116, verses 12 to 14. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today we have come to the house of God for a service of thanksgiving, and in particular, harvest thanksgiving. But are we really thankful people? Gratitude is one of the most beautiful flowers in the garden of Christian virtues, but it is also one of the rarest. Whether or not these harvest thanksgiving services are pleasing to God and a benefit to us depends not so much on what we say and do as on what we are. Are we thankful people? Strange as it may sound, it seems to be one of the wayward characteristics of human nature that the more we have for which to be thankful, the less grateful we really are. May the Lord bless the meditation this morning as we consider the question, are we grateful people? So firstly, are we thankful people? The psalmist was a thankful person. His words breathe a spirit of genuine gratitude. He searched back into past experiences of his life. He looked around about himself, and everywhere he saw the evidences of God's goodness. We read in Psalm 116, verses 2 to 8, before our text. Because the Lord has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol lay hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. What he saw made him grateful and drew from him the thanksgiving of our text. Are these words an accurate reflection of your own gratitude? Are you a thankful person? Today it would seem that we are. Today we are having our annual Harvest Thanksgiving service. We have come together for a joyful service of thanksgiving. There is a spirit evident among us today. There is a quality in our singing that would seem to say, yes, we are thankful people. But are we really thankful? Is gratitude a notable virtue among us? There are some disturbing signs that would seem to indicate a negative answer. The mere observance of a day does not necessarily indicate that people are thankful. Besides, you cannot pay a year's debt of gratitude with one day's thanksgiving. If, as we sit at our bountiful tables, we were to see pressed against our windows the hollow eyes and sunken cheeks of some of the world's starving people, wouldn't we have an uneasy feeling that we are taking our blessings too much for granted? Are we really thankful people? The extent and depth of our gratitude can be measured by our love toward God and our fellow men. But when we apply that measure, what do we find? The love we give to God, the service we render to him, the gifts we lay at his feet, the sympathy and kindness we show to other people, add it all up, and what does it come to? If the total is an honest reflection of the measure of our gratitude, then we may well to pause and ask ourselves, are we really thankful people? Happiness and contentment are very closely related to gratitude. The average Australian can buy more goods today than 25 years ago, and he can buy better goods. But are we that much happier, more content, and more grateful? We behave very strangely sometimes. We are prone to play up our misfortunes and to play down our good fortune. Remind a person of how good he has it, and you may perhaps hear the reply, well, yes, but... We can forget 100 blessings and remember one misfortune. We are often tempted to fret and complain. We become impatient, discontented, and ill-tempered. Sometimes we are cold and smug, not deeply touched by the misfortune of others. Are these the marks of a humble and grateful heart? Put all the blessings we enjoy on one side of the scale, are they balanced by the gratitude we are putting on the other side? Are we thankful people? Look at all the ills that afflict our nation and the world today. They are of our own making. To a great extent, we can lay them to the forgetfulness of God and His favours. God delights to pour out His blessings in rich measure on those who receive them with humble, grateful hearts. Gratitude causes further blessings to flow, but ingratitude stops the flow of divine blessings. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, "Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them and worship them, I will testify you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." We so easily forget that the same loving hand that sustains us and provides for us in such abundance, the hand of which the psalmist says in Psalm 145 verse 16, "You open the hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing," is the same hand that also can crush and destroy the unthankful. So, are we thankful people? It isn't such a simple question and as easily answered as it might seem at first. In fact, is it rather an embarrassing and disturbing question and a cause for an honest answer? And what is your answer? Secondly, we ought to be thankful people. The psalmist was thankful because he took stock of the Lord's goodness toward him and was amazed at what he found when he added it all up. He counted up his blessings with the result that he asked, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?" Let us therefore look at some of the reasons for our gratitude. Thanksgiving ought to be the natural response to the many blessings we enjoy. Let us count them like the psalmist, and we shall be amazed at the total, especially if we count also some of the things we don't have. Let us start right where we are, here in God's house. Here he pronounces salvation among men. Here we are, all sinners, in need of cleansing and healing and saving. And here God reaches out to us through his word and sacraments to touch and heal our souls. Here he makes us to know his saving love. He tells us of the lengths to which he has gone to rescue us from the eternal ruin and to make us his beloved children and heirs of heaven. We read in Romans chapter 8, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And the Son of God gave himself into death to redeem us from sin, death, and eternal woe." That is a gospel that brings comfort and peace, joy and hope to the soul. Among all the gifts with which God enriches our lives and which ought to call forth our thanksgiving, his redeeming, forgiving love ranks first. Let us put it in first place and keep it there, just as David mentions this blessing first in Psalm 103, "Who forgives all your iniquities." A person may be poor in other things, but when he knows himself to be an object of God's tender love, redeemed by the blood of Jesus and an heir of heaven through Christ, he is something that money cannot buy, and for which all the material wealth in the world is no substitute. A person who is concerned only about his health will find nothing to be grateful for when his health is gone. But when a person knows the misery and wretchedness of a soul burdened with sin and guilt, and then remembers the pain and anguish, the death that Jesus endured to save him, he has something to be thankful for every day of his life. He may be poor. He may be passing through some severe trial. His heart may be heavy with some recent sorrow. But he has a comfort that God is still love, and his thoughts toward him are thoughts of kindness, and that he means it well with him. And so, although things may look dark at the moment, and the man must say with a submissive heart, "Thy will be done," yet he can also say with a grateful heart, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." In our survey of God's gifts, let us take stock of the material blessings we enjoy in our homes, in our personal lives, and in this wonderful land of ours. We are better off by far than millions of our fellow men in other countries. The list of material blessings include the harvest of the land. We are better fed, better clothed, and better housed. We enjoy better health facilities and educational advantages. In our homes, we enjoy comforts and conveniences and luxuries that don't even exist in the dreams of many people in other parts of the world. Here in Australia, even with all its faults, we enjoy advantages, a freedom, a standard of living for which other nations envy us. They may find fault with us, but they'd like to live among us. Some of our fellow citizens criticise our nation and try to sow seeds of unrest and rebellion, but we don't see them forming a line to get out. As we take stock of our personal and national blessings, we can apply to our nation the words which Moses once spoke to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. Our thanksgiving also ought to be prompted also by some things that we do not have. We don't have the ruins of war around us. We don't have slavery. We don't have persecutions, and we don't have a famine. But they do have these things elsewhere. All this is all the more remarkable when we consider that all these blessings are free gifts of God's love and wholly undeserved by us. We have repaid God's goodness with thoughtlessness and selfishness, complaining and ingratitude. He has given us so much, and we have given him so little. Yet he does not deal with us as we deserve. As we view the picture of God's goodness against the dark background of our own unworthiness, we must say, Lord, who are we that you have dealt so bountifully with us? On this Harvest Thanksgiving Day, we must be reminded of Jacob's confession and make it our own, as we read in Genesis chapter 32. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies, of all the truth which you have shown your servant. Yes, we ought to be a thankful people. We have reason to be. No matter where we look or from what angle we view our blessings, the view is one that ought to stir our hearts. So thirdly, let us be thankful people. We cannot remain indifferent to the sight that greets our eyes as the picture of God's goodness is unfolded before us. There must be some response on our part. The psalmist didn't remain indifferent to the view that met his eyes as he counted up his blessings. He knew that he must do something about it. And this was his response. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. This also reminds us of the drink offerings prescribed in the Old Testament, which were brought to the Lord as an expression of thanksgiving for all his goodness. It also reminds us of the cup of wine, which the head of the house would lift up after the Passover meal in praise of God's mercy, and then pass around to the other guests. The psalmist views his blessings as a cup filled with goodness of the Lord. Therefore, he resolves to give testimony of God's goodness and to his own gratitude in exercises of public worship. And that is what we are doing today. In response to the invitation, come ye thankful people, come, we have gathered in God's house in company with others to lift up the cup which God has filled with his mercies, to acknowledge his goodness and our own unworthiness, and to lift up our hearts and voices in thanksgiving. We are doing that right now, as this day brings God's kindness to our remembrance. How can we do otherwise? In view of all the blessings of which God has enriched our lives, it is only natural that we should join in this public service to acknowledge his goodness and to express our gratitude. We are paying our vows of thanksgiving to the Lord now in the presence of his people. But let us also remember that every day should be thanksgiving, and that these vows that we pay today should only be the beginning. They will be worthless if we forget them as soon as today is finished. After all, never a day passes for which you do not drink the cup of God's kindness. His mercies are new for us every morning. There are the common blessings of food, clothing, shelter, and life itself that we enjoy every day. And there are many days that bring special happiness into our lives. So every day ought to be Thanksgiving Day. How can we let these daily blessings pass unnoticed And then imagine that we can crowd into one day all the thanks we owe to God for a whole year of His goodness. Let this day be an occasion for adding fresh fuel to the fire of our gratitude, so that it will go on burning brightly through the days to come. Let every day be a thanksgiving day. We shall find, too, that the daily practice of thanksgiving will be a tonic to our soul. It'll make us happier and more cheerful. It'll make us more content with what we have, and less prone to complain about the things we don't have. Finally, our thanksgiving must be translated to thanksgiving. Our vows and expressions of gratitude dare not stand alone. They must lead to something else, otherwise they have a hollow sound. If we are truly grateful people, it will only be natural that we translate our daily thanksgiving into a life of daily service to a gracious and loving God. No task will be too great for Him who has done so much for us. No sacrifice of time and strength will be too great to give to that Saviour who sacrificed Himself for us. No, that gift He may ask of us will be too much for Him who gave all for us. No deed of kindness that we may do to others will be too much to do in the name of Him who does so much for us. Let that be the measure of our thanksgiving. Then we shall be making our thanksgiving real, and we shall be giving evidence that we are truly thankful people. Are we thankful people? We ought to be. Today it would seem that we are. The real proof will come tomorrow and the next day and all the days that follow. Then too, may we be found thankful people until at last in heaven we lift our voices in an eternal hymn of thanksgiving to the God of our salvation, as we read in Revelation chapter 7 verse 12, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honour and power and might be to our God for ever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.